The word that the Lord gave me for tomorrow morning is one that just so I was just so excited about it. It's a brand new message the Lord just gave in the last day or so. But I felt like what he was saying for tonight is this is a night of preparation. That he wants to do something very sweet and very needed. And that a work that's done in tonight, and to prepare us for tomorrow and tomorrow night. And I know that you've come wanting to meet with God. And part of the ministry here, of course, is the fellowship with each other. But if we've come saying, Lord, my first priority is to meet with you. Why I've come primarily is, Lord, I want to hear from you. I need something that you know what I need. And I know I will not be disappointed because love never fails. And you are a God of love and you will not fail me this weekend. And so I felt the preparatory work that the Lord wanted to do tonight was I felt that he was saying that there is for many a great weariness upon you. You have come with a great weariness. And for some it may be a hidden weariness. It's not something you speak about. But there is a great weariness in this place and that the Lord wants to touch and just to maybe give us some insight why there is such weariness and how he is going to lift us up tonight. He's going to lift us up by his love and lift us up by his truth and lift it up by his word, because when he does it that way, the enemy can't rob us of that. That's an eternal work, a deposit that's made in our heart that cannot be lied out of us. Or when we hit another patch of weariness, we have an inner strength to meet it. The Lord knows how to touch our weariness, and he is especially sympathetic because we're women. And there's a certain weariness that comes with our lot, I think, because many, we just are emotionally involved with each other. We are emotionally engaged. We want to be caregivers many times, or we just are caregivers, whether we want to or not. And it's just very much sometimes a part of our life is a weariness. And you know that beautiful scripture that says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden." And I just want to read that scripture to you. It says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And there's no rest like the rest the Lord can give us. We can go on a holiday, get a facial, do the spa thing, and there is still no rest like the Lord gives, because he gives rest in our spirit. He gives rest where it is well with our soul. Only the Lord can give that kind of rest. And really, at the end of the day, it's what we're thirsting for. If we don't have that kind of rest, we can, you know, be quiet, but we don't have a rest, and our soul thirsts for it. Because if the Spirit of God lives in us, we are not satisfied. We don't find rest where the world finds it. We don't find rest there. But he says, "I will give you rest." And that's a promise. We can take that to the bank. Tonight, Lord, we want your rest upon us. The kind where the burden is lifted and the weariness is touched. "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." And how are we also familiar with taking up another yoke? A yoke of our own expectations. A yoke of our own pride, a yoke of our own understanding of things, a yoke that others, we feel, you know, expect of us. But he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And there is the key. And learn of me. You know, isn't that interesting? We can't really understand rest or till we learn of him. Isn't that an interesting thing? We'll never learn of rest till we learn it from him. What that really means. Because of course he's talking about a heart rest and a soul rest and a rest in our spirit. A peace with God that passes understanding. A peace that goes beyond anything our head can understand. But when it's all wrong, everything can be right. When God gives us rest. He says, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And a lot of times people think meek means weak. It's really not well understood. But meek means power with restraint. And you know, isn't it interesting that when we just give way to all our emotions and we just lose self-control, we don't really feel any better for that. It just agitates more. But he says, learn of me, for I am meek. That's power with restraint. And the Lord promises us to be women of strength and women who have an inner resource in the face of continuing frustrations. And he promises that to us. And that, you know, that power is available as every time there's an open heart that calls his name, he comes. He says, you're learning rest here. Call on my name, which is higher and greater than every other name, and learn of me. And I will give you power. And I will give you this power with restraint that you will not have to give way and give out, but I can put an ennobling grace upon you that sets you apart. And then go, something about that lady. Well, I'm not talking about robbing you of personality. Whatever personality God gave you, thank God we're not all called to be the same. That would be terrible. That'd be like only one flower in the shop. And that wouldn't work. There's no beauty in that. But with all our personalities, he says, I will teach you something here and give you this ennobling grace that people will know you are mine because you start to look like me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls in that. A lot of times I think we belong to a society that thinks if we can just hold our ground and give it back the way we get it, we'll feel better. And that's, Jesus is always moving in the opposite spirit because he's greater than the spirit that's operating. And as you and I access and say, Lord, I thank you that you are teaching me your rest, that means I get to call on a strength that's divine for this moment. And you know what? We can have, it doesn't matter. I love the prayer that Marie prayed today. It really, really, really doesn't matter at that moment if we're having a good day or a bad day to call on that strength. It's not about whether we've had a good day and then I have every right to call on his name and then he'll hear me and change me. No, in fact, when we're having the worst of days, we defeat the devil when we call on his name at the worst of moments, when we have lost it, when we have talked too much, when we feel like we've grieved all around us. How we win when we just stop and say, I'm going to find rest for my soul. First, I'll find it in the mighty name of Jesus. And second, he'll come to me when I need him the most. And it is as simple as that, isn't it? He says, learn of me. I'm going to teach you my rest, a soul rest that is so satisfying. In the midst of the storm where you and I feel cut off and isolated from the beauty and holiness of God at that moment, he says, no, 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 no. That's devil thinking. That's human thinking. Call on my name and see how swiftly I will come to you and change everything. A rest into your spirit that's saying, I'm not blowing it. I have Jesus who comes to me when I need him. And it's a really beautiful thing where this rest, Jesus says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, even though I'm talking about a rest and a weariness tonight, it almost may sound contradictory what I'm about to say, but it all has to do with rest. And I can best say it, the Lord posed a question to me and that I believe is a question for you. Of course, I had to answer it myself. But the question is this. When it's all been said and done, who do you want to be at the end of your life? Who do you want to be when it comes to the end? And would you honestly be able to ask yourself, what did I become? You know, most people can't ask that question on a deathbed. It's too painful. And they've lived most of their life outside of this supreme grace of being at rest in their soul. And when I ask you, who do you want to be at the end of your life? It's almost like if we said, Lord Jesus, now just Let me be honest here. Who would I like to be? Some of us will want to answer that. We want to be exactly not like some person that comes to mind. Some will say, I want to be exactly like someone, and someone comes to mind. It sometimes sounds contradictory to rest, because as soon as we start thinking about who would I like to be when it's all said and done, what would I have liked to have become? It sounds like now we've got to all jump out of our chair and run out and do something to be something. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like the exact opposite to rest. I heard a story, a true story actually, not long ago. And it's a story about a woman who decided to go onto a cruise. Maybe she was looking for rest. But the despair of her life and where she found herself, the only rest or peace it looked like is if she'd committed suicide. And sure enough, in the middle of that cruise, jumped off the top of the boat, fully intending to end her life. When she hit the water, a man who was also on the boat saw her jump, gasped, and jumped into the water. Except when he came up, his head broke water into the air, the first thing he yelled was, "Help, I can't swim." And just seeing her need and seeing that woman jump off, he was just compelled to do something, giving no thought to himself. He jumped in the water, broke, and went, "Help, I can't swim." She, who's trying to drown herself, swam over to him and hauled him, the two of them, to the boat. True story. And they pulled them both on board. And that night, the captain addressed the people who had assembled on the boat, and he said, "This night, a woman was saved not by a man, but by a purpose." She was saved by a purpose. There was something greater than herself that she absolutely had to do at that moment, even greater than giving into the despair. Even greater than giving into the despair. There was something greater for her to do. And I want to say to you that I believe this weekend God is going to save us, if I can use that term, because we already know we're saved. We already know we have salvation. But many times saved from the life course we're on and the lack of rest and things that are there by a purpose. Just who do you want to be when it's all said and done? Because I think if we end at that point and look back, if we say there is a purpose, everything that I'm going through, Lord, at the end, I want it to end like this. God delights to answer prayers like that. Now, of course, that prayer is mixed with, why did you create me in the first place? And why did you give me life? And why did you call me? And why, out of all the billions on the earth, did you show up in my life and save me? Why, even maybe tonight, I feel very far from you. I don't feel swimming in this tide of grace. I'm very weary. I feel like if my faith had one more test, I'm going under with the despair and the weariness, and sometimes it's too much for me. But surely as that woman was saved by a purpose, I believe that's what the Lord is saying tonight, that there's a purpose for your life, and there's a purpose for mine, and we're to end up looking like something at the end of it all. You know, there's a very, very familiar scripture that most of you would know here. And it's, you don't have to turn there, but I'll read the first half of the verse to you. And it's Proverbs 29:18. And it says, "Without a vision, the people perish. Without a vision, the women perish." And that word vision really does mean mental sight. Without mental sight, we perish. But that word vision, it has a root word embedded in it, and it comes out, and it means mental sight, but also that word vision also has a root word mixed into it, and it means to split and to see. In other words, without the ability, a mental sight, to see a split screen, women can perish. Without the ability to have that mental sight to see a split screen. In other words, God says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be able, in the middle of the crisis, the storm, the boredom, the coldness, whatever it is at that moment, I want you to have the ability to have a split screen in your mental image and see your life as going with the Lord and calling on His name and walking in His Spirit. And the other side of the screen is if I get my own way, if I just ignore what it is a life in God means. If I have this split screen for that moment, if I get a purpose because I know my life is going to have an end someday, and the Lord who's been so gracious to us, someday, you know, he's made incredible deposits in our life. He has made incredible deposits. Someday he's going to look for a harvest. And all that I've put in, all the trial I've brought you through, all I've taught you, all that I have labored long with you, I've been so patient with you, all to bring you to knowledge, to make you women of wisdom, to make you women of understanding, to walk through this earth with a character that sets you apart. Not that we're perfect. No, no, I'm talking something better than perfect, because who likes anyone perfect anyway? No, seriously, we can't hear from one another if we're perfect. Better than perfect, honest, genuine, alive, godly, knows how to pray, cares about people, makes a difference in this world. In other words, everything Christ does in our heart and brings to us and brings a soul rest that brings a joy with it. But beloved, I'm talking costly things now. I'm not talking about something that's got in a day. And it's not something that's not learned only but in the storm. In the almost the brink of loss of faith, almost when we know what it is to walk through the valley of the shadow of the death of despair. Else how do we know how faithful God is? We all know what it is to walk through despair. We all know what it is at times to doubt God. We don't know what it is to feel like we fail Him. We know what it is this. But you see, God has designed it that you and I come to these moments, that we may know the power of His name, and that we may know He will keep us from falling, and that He will restore to us, put something of His life, His endurance, His love, His graciousness in us. It's all for a purpose. And to teach us there are places in God we can only go only if He takes us there. I have a little dog, Rue, and he has issues. He's a Boston Terrier, and he has a lot of issues. But one of the issues is, for whatever reason, and since he doesn't speak English, I don't know what it is, he sits at the door of my bedroom every night. He doesn't walk in bedrooms at night. He doesn't do bedrooms at night. Now he wants to come in with me. And he desperately wants to lie in the same bed I am. He wants to be where I am. But he can't get there. And every night I have to pick him up and carry him into the bedroom and put him on the bed. Every night. He wants with all his heart to go to bed and be there in that place of comfort and security and know that I'm there, but he can't get himself there. And unless I pick him up and carry him, he won't get there. And beloved, that's like us. Unless there are places specifically designed that God puts our back to the wall, and he has to come and pick us up and carry us there. And I'll tell you something, every night, do I look at him and go and scold that dog? Or do I look at his weakness? When he lifts that paw trembling, he has no language to say why he can't do it, except he will sleep in the hall all night, all the while wanting to be beside me. And I pick that little dog up, and I kiss his ears, and I kiss his head, and there's something about his absolute weakness that draws out every night. It's like, oh, Rue. And I pick him up, and I don't despise his weakness. I so don't despise his weakness. His quirkiness makes him actually all the more endearing to me. God doesn't despise our weakness. The enemy despises us and makes us want to believe God despises our weakness. You know, God is specifically designed. There's something of his heart. He's our father. He's our lover. He's our best friend. He loves to carry us places we can't go for His glory. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because my weakness calls to Him in a way nothing else does. And when people see us carried to a place of comfort and carried to a place of rest and carried to a place right beside Him, they know God is real. They know a strength greater than our own brought us there. And there's nothing like that rest when it's the Lord Himself that had to carry us there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What do you want to be at the end of your life? A woman of faith, love, joy, knows what it is to weep in prayer for people, love people, be patient with people. You know, the older I get, I'm convinced the more I look like my mother. I think this because my clearest memory of what she looked like was, of course, towards the end of her life. I really didn't know her as a young woman. My clearest memory is what she looked like when she was older. And I think the clearest memory of many things is what things look like at the end. And for those, you know, that you have could be swallowed up with the despair because felt like, God forbid, we were all taken tomorrow, what would they say about us? What does the scripture say? The latter shall be greater. There is a glory in God that He says, I save the best to last. I save the best for last. That if you and I have this purpose, oh Lord, at the end of all this, could I have something where everything I've ever wanted to be is realized in You? The woman I've always longed to be and knew I never could be apart from Your Holy Spirit and the change You promised because You went to a cross, because You broke the power of sin in my life, and now I'm called to ask You and believe You for incredible change. And you know, people will remember you the clearest in that state. If you think of David, you know, what we call him, the sweet psalmist of Israel, don't we? You know, the interesting thing is, God calls him a man after His own heart, and yet we know that, you know, he was a murderer and an adulterer. But somehow the other side overtook it, didn't it? Really, His testimony is sweet among us. That is the heritage that we have. We don't have to give place to that lie where the devil says, you know something? You've ruined your testimony. You've come this far. And that is really, it's all over for you. Been too much too long. That's a lie. Too much too long. That's a lie. If the testimony of David, where we actually hold him up as a role model, in spite of serious sin, and yet he can be transformed. Why? Because he just said, God, you know what? There is mercy with You. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man who keeps looking to You. And he says, you know, if I perish, I perish. If I leave Jerusalem, you know, and my son kills me, well then my life is in the hand of the Lord. Whatever He thinks fit. You know what that was saying? He wasn't trying to defend Himself. You go, no, I did a lot of things wrong. But I'm committing my life, my reputation, everything I have on the mercy of God. And whatever best, whatever He thinks fit, so shall it be. And God honored that kind of honoring of Him. And we say, Lord, I thank You that I can break the lie that no matter what kind of despair, what kind of testimony I feel I have, Lord, when I turn to You and I open up my heart and I say, Lord Jesus, walk with me. Call me into Your life right now. Lord, I thank You that You do not despise my weakness. You do not despise my weakness. You love me, and I'm not going to be lied out of that truth. You love me. You love me. You love me. You love me. You know that there's this, you could just turn there if you want to, very quickly to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, I'll just hit on some highlights. But here is Jesus talking about a woman, that great is thy faith, and be it done to thee even as you will. There was a woman that Jesus actually said, commended her faith in front of all his disciples, in front of all the bigwigs, in front of all the people who seemed strong and mighty in the faith, people of reputation. Jesus turned and said to them, here is a woman of great faith. Whatever she wants, she gets. Whatever she wants, she gets. You know, how did she get to that point that Jesus himself could commend her in front of the biggest, most big people of the day, religiously speaking? And said she has the kind of faith that she gets what she wants. How did she get there? Well, first of all, you know what one thing she did? And let's learn from this now, because this is rest for our souls. How'd she get to this place? Well, the scripture tells us that when she had this incredible need, the scripture says in verse 23 that Jesus answered her not a word. I want to say to you that when God is teaching us to be women of faith and not give in to the voice of the condemner, the first thing we have to learn is not be intimidated by the silence of God. Do not be intimidated. God is producing something in women of this generation of great faith if we'll let him. Not mediocre faith. I'm talking women of great faith. Do you want to be on that journey? I do. Well, then, first of all, do not be intimidated by the silence of God. And second of all, don't let the devil fill the silence. Don't let him accuse you and say, you know, you're not getting an answer because of this, and you didn't do that right, and you didn't pray enough, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you didn't do that. Do not be intimidated by the silence of God. God is actually doing something so amazing at this point, and she's ready for it. I've often heard it said, the teacher is always silent during a test. The teacher's not talking while we're taking a test. And sometimes, beloved, we feel like we are not mighty women of faith, and we feel like, you know, this trial that I'm in, you know, is just a little trial, or I don't know how we classify it, maybe not something very important. That's a lie. If we are saying, God, I want you this weekend to speak to me of the woman that I want to be by the end of my life, and that you want me to be. Drop a word into me. Speak to me. Give me something that you says, this is how I'm going to be defined by the time I reach the end of my journey, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the love of Christ in me. I will be this person. Of course, we're talking about character. How do we get there? How do we become women of such rest in our spirit that we intimidate hell and we bring peace to those around us? How do we get there? We are not intimidated by the silences of God. When we start asking him for things and heaven grows silent, we don't get intimidated. We just know this woman kept asking, saying, God, you know what you are doing, and I say you are creating great faith in me and you are teaching me something. And enemy, shut up. And recognize when he's talking to you. Don't let him masquerade as the voice of God. You know, he sounds very holy at moments like this. You didn't do this. You should have done that. No, it's like, Jesus, you are my salvation. You went to the cross. I live under a canopy of your mercy. It's your blood that paid the price for my sin. It is your blood that breaks the power of this sin. So when the enemy comes to condemn me, I ask you to help me to recognize that. And even though my accuser is right in what he condemns me of, that I am this and I am that, it is my privilege to say, but Jesus, you took care of it. You see it and you've forgiven me. Change me now. We are not intimidated by silence. That is how women of great faith and great peace come about. Second of all, you know, the disciples, what is their reaction to this? They're saying, send this woman away. You know, it says verse 73, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. You know, beloved, some in this place tonight, you have to disappointment in spiritual people. Some of you have been greatly disappointed by spiritual people. And not everybody who follows Jesus acts like Jesus 100% of the time, including us. And we learn to forgive ourselves, and we learn to forgive spiritual people. We learn to forgive. You know, where the Spirit of God is, the enemy tries to, he really moves in where people want God. He really moves there. You think he's moving in a drug den in the bars? Yeah, he is. But they're just his marionettes. He really moves where people want God. Because he can't let that kind of power of the Holy Spirit go unchecked or unmimicked. And there are times, we all know it, we have acted out of line, spoke out of line, thought out of line, harbored things that we justified and gave it another name, some Latin term. Oh yeah. But, you know, here these disciples, you know, here this woman is desperate, and everybody seems so cold-hearted. She's coming to him because her daughter is demon-possessed. And she knows these disciples can't do a thing about it. And she's appealing to the one, the only one who can. And what are they doing? It's like they're a barrier to Jesus. And sometimes that happens. And sometimes we are the barrier. Sometimes we are cold-hearted. Sometimes we're not getting the desperation. Sometimes people are a bother to us, and people with problems are an extreme bother to us. And we've just started to get our act together in a few little areas, and the last thing we want is somebody needy right there hanging out with us and Jesus. And women of great faith, you know something? We seriously must forgive the spiritual people. Because if we don't, we'll never forgive ourselves. If we want to call ourselves women of faith and women of the Spirit, we have to let this weekend those faces come up. And we have to say, Lord, by your grace, I take the step of saying I forgive you. And even though sometimes I may not mean it, I want to. And even though I struggle with it, you know, Lord, I want to follow you in this. And by your grace, I know when I am set free, Lord, I'm going to be on that one step closer to who I want to be and who you want to be at the end of my days. I'm going to get up, when I see this face, I'm going to get that split screen. I'm going to be able to see, now if I follow the Lord, call on his name, call on the Holy Spirit, he breaks the power of the bitterness, and he breaks the disappointment, and he digs it up. Oh, this is how my life will go. And if I don't, here's my other side of the screen. And bittered and shriveled in the house of God, we've had enough of that. We need women vibrantly alive. Know what it is to forgive to the uttermost. Know what it is to forgive ourselves. Know what it is to move in the Spirit and get the freedom that Christ died for. That's why Jesus went to a cross. Not for our better lives, but that we could have the same freedom inside to forgive, to love, to be patient, to be joyful, to pray, and it becomes our joy, not a duty. Out of a relationship. This is how, you know, we get this rest for our souls and become women of great faith. And finally, you know, she comes to the Lord and she worships him. And that's such a hard thing to do when you feel like you have majorly failed people. This woman has a demon-possessed daughter. And sometimes by our hand and by our lack, people have suffered around us. And it's not been an easy life. And now she has a demon-possessed daughter. And to be able to worship and to call God good. Beloved, we have to call God good. That's the key. We have to call him good. And even in the midst of a demon-possessed daughter in that house, you have to call him good. Why? The cross forever stands. We never have to doubt God's goodness when we look at the cross. Never again settle the question, God is good, when we remember the cross. For when we were sinners, he died for us, that he could change us, call us his, fill us with his spirit to be a light in this world. God is good. For settle it when we look at the cross. God would never have to do one more thing for us to prove he was good except the cross. So we defeat the devil and worship God even in the worst of circumstance, even when it seems like the devil lives right in your own house. The power of worship breaks the back of the enemy and moves us forward to being women of faith and women who are going to a goal, this prize, this high calling that says by the end of your days, people aren't going to look in that casket and go, oh my goodness, a size 8. Because that's not what they're going to say. That's not what they're going to say. My husband said to me, you know, when I die, I really don't want, you know, this long list of things that maybe I've done and dry eyes in that house. Weeping when I go. And mourning. Because I meant something to somebody in a real way, not just, you know, a list of accomplishments. I want tears because I think it's a tribute to a life well lived because they well loved. And at the end of the day, that's what satisfies our heart. That we could love well. That we loved well. We loved deeply. And we could receive love, not just be the dispenser of love. We could receive love. And joy became a real part of the journey. And lots of times this comes with the white hair, hallelujah. Takes time. So don't be impatient. And finally, you know, this woman, it says, that Jesus, when she asks him one more time, she says, Lord, help my daughter. And he answers in verse 26, and he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. You know, this scripture troubled me for years. It's one thing for the devil to call you a dog. But what if we hear something that just... we don't understand. What if, you know, what the enemy wants is to take a secret offense with God. A secret offense. A secret offense. And you know, when she, you know, we can take secret offenses in a lot of different ways. Of course, the thing about a secret offense is that it's a secret. Which means you go to church and prayer meetings and all kinds of things. And yet you have a secret offense because you know something just aren't really right to our point of view. That just really shouldn't be in the kingdom. That just, you know, there are secret offenses. But you know this woman, because she had come in this order, you know, like your secret offense can be the injustice in the world, can be this, can be that death, can be, why did this happen? And you would never, and I many times have the guts to call it a secret offense. We would call it the inscrutables, the mystery of God. God says, no, it's you have an offense with me and my ways. You know, so many people have been misshapen by the hand of religion. They have been misshapen. They have, and to the end of their days, they have this view of God and Jesus that's not right. And all their days, they will walk under the power in some area of their heart and life. You know, and it shuts us down to the joy and to the glory and the beauty and the love that, you know, Christ brings into it. There's some part we're shut down because we've been misshapen by a wrong view of God that the Holy Spirit all our life wanted to bring to the light, because we're shut down in that area. And where it operates, we become critical, we become frozen, we become shriveled, we become condemning. There's no freedom, it's just bondage. And many times that happens, most saddest place is in a church. And we have this secret offense because we don't realize we have been misshapen. And imagine Jesus one more time being wounded in the house of his friends, taking open hearts of children, taking just young converts to the Lord, and they sit under something that is not the Spirit of Christ and presented in the name of Christ, says, presented, this is Jesus. And it's not true, and it's a lie. And this, and there's misshapen in the name of religion. And that's what happened with this woman, because you want to know something? All the disciples deep down thought she was a Gentile dog. He was calling out their prejudice. That's what they thought. You know, really, we are Israel, and she has no business being in this midst, asking for her demon possessed, because that's what you get just for being outside the kingdom of God. That's what you get for not knowing our God. That's what you get for not having true religion, not realizing how hard-hearted they are. Jesus is going to call them out on that, because you know something? The Holy Spirit, this woman walks with God, and the Holy Spirit is able to counteract a religious spirit, a devilish spirit, a condemning spirit. She goes, truth, Lord, but even the small dogs eat from the master's table. You know what she was saying? You're my master. I'm identifying with you. They can't keep me with their prejudice. You're my master. And deliverance is the children's bread. And you're such an awesome master. If I even get a crumb from your table, my master, she will be delivered and I will be delivered. And he said, oh, woman, how great is thy faith. For I have been waiting and waiting and waiting, because I'm teaching even Israel what a hard heart and how misshapen and wrong religion they have. Beloved, we need women in the Church of Ireland who can stand up, who have been misshapen by religion, but hold by the Spirit of God. And they will stand up and say, oh, Jesus, defend me here. And you show where there has been iniquity and things wrong formed, but make me stand up and say, you're my master, and you back me up, and the freedom that comes into my life, and you and I are not shut down in a corner, condemned to a place of misshapen religion. No, it is for freedom Christ died. And at the end of your life, for you to be free in Christ, Jesus alone knows how to take us there. And he'll give us rest along the way. He will give us rest. He will give us rest. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid on this journey this weekend and in this journey of life. Jesus says, dream, think big. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to be? I can take you there. I alone, my love will take you there. Who do you want to be? Do you want to be free of the envious spirit? Do you want to be able to love people? Do you want to be a woman that knows how, has a something in her spirit that can walk among the people and not compromise and yet love? Do you want to be a woman of sound speech? Do you want to be a woman able to love her enemies and yet, and still, you know, there still have something of life in her? Who do you want to be? Because there's no barriers in Christ. I don't care who your mother was. I don't care what upbringing you had, or what family, or what misshaped you and I. That's where the weariness comes in. Because at the end, somewhere along the line, we get helpless and hopeless, so far from where we want to be at times. No, His strength is made perfect in our weakness. We don't have to be afraid of Jesus. He can take us to that place that he's going to say something to you this weekend, and we're going to actually now give Him a little space because He wants to speak to you. He wants you to think of who you want to be in Christ, what you want to look like. What is the goal? What is the purpose? Because you're going to be saved by that, in the sense of making the right choices and calling on the Spirit of God to take you to that place. And it is possible in Christ. With God, all things are possible. With God. No barriers of your upbringing, no barriers of a condemning spirit, no barriers of your own repeated failure or my repeated failure. Tonight I come to Jesus, and the Jesus with whom all things are possible. And He has this life plan for us. He says, ask big. Please ask big. Please ask big. Please honor Him. Do you love Him? Ask big. Do you love Him? Ask big. Ask big. You will glorify Him. You're not going to get yourself there. I'm not going to get myself there. He will pick us up and take us there. He will. He will. He will. Now let's just shut in with Him for a minute. Just before we do that, I've just been quickened with something. Sorry to interrupt you, but I know I heard something last Sunday. I have to repeat to you. There are some women here and you are desperately fighting with depression. You are in the grip of depression and despair. And you are weary. And my husband preached a message, and he said at the end, he said, and I pass it on to you, the Holy Spirit quickened Him for everyone who is in despair, because when you bowed your head to let the Lord speak to you, the weariness wanted to overtake you in the despair and to block out your view of what God wanted to do. And just for those, I just want to say this. You know when Elijah, he was driven to his point of despair? Remember when he confronted Jezebel, and it's like all the strength went out of him and he ran before her? Remember he went into the desert and he wanted to die? It ended all. He was on the mountain at one point in his walk with God, and now he was like, all was lost, and he just wanted to die. He lived to die. He lived hoping it would end. And what did the Lord do for him? The Lord came to him and said, here, eat a little, drink a little, and then rest. Every day, just open your Bible a little bit. Just read a little bit. That's all. Just read a little bit. Just pray even 1 minute, and then rest. And then the next day, open your Bible. Just read a little bit. Just pray for 1 minute, and then rest. It's not required of you to run the marathon. Jesus knows. But when He did that, He was given strength on that little bit of food and water to go 40 days in the wilderness. It was supernatural. It looked like so little, but it was supernatural. God, with that little bit every day of reading the Word and just that short prayer and then resting, God brought rest and strength supernaturally, and broke the power of the enemy, and found out he wasn't running from Jezebel. He was being led of God. He wasn't running in defeat. He was being led by the Spirit of God into his next assignment. Rest, my beloved, rest. When you bow your head and you ask God who you should be, do not let it be accompanied with anxiousness. Eat a little, drink a little this weekend. God will take you there. by His Spirit to your next assignment. It's not something you do for God in becoming a woman of God. God does that for us. We just ask Him and trust Him. So, Father, we just bow our head now. Thank You for the rest. Thank You by Your Spirit. You are bringing a rest into our spirit. Thank You, Lord, You are cutting the striving because You're not looking for us to do. You're asking us to look to You. And in that looking, we become something. We become something looking at You. Thank You, Jesus. You promise to take us. Whatever we ask now, You promise to take us there. It will be Your glory. You will love us to that place. It is Your delight to take us to this place that we ask You now. I ask You, Lord, to hear the cry of every woman. And I ask You, Lord, by the Spirit to speak to every heart. Let them now form the courage to ask what's really in their heart. Give them the courage to ask what they really want to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, beloved, just let Him speak now and open your heart up to Him in this, and let there be rest accompanied with this. It's not something we're going to do for Him. Something He's going to take us, He's going to do for us. Now we thank You, Lord. We do thank You. You've heard this. You've been waiting for us to ask You. And then You've been waiting for us to say, Jesus, You alone can accomplish this. And I thank You, Lord. I'm going to live with a split screen in my head. And I'm going to see when I call on Your name, even when I feel the worst of times, that You are making me a great woman of faith. I will not be intimidated, Lord, in silence. I will forgive freely by your grace. Lord, for those that when my life has gone so hard, Lord, there will not be, Lord, I'll worship You. You, by Your Spirit, You will make me a worshiper. And I thank You, Lord, that every secret offense, oh God, that You by the Spirit have uncovered, I gladly lay it at Your feet. Teach me Your way, God. Teach me Your life, Jesus. And for all those women, Lord, that have a misshapen view because of spiritual experience or teaching, I ask You, Holy Spirit, now, just to release them. And I pray they would understand this weekend through just by looking at trees and grass and speaking with others, Lord. You make spiritual truths so real to them. The real You, Jesus, your real heart, the way You work. Speak to them through the birds and the grass. Speak to them when they eat a little, drink a little, and rest a little. Speak, oh God. Speak and make us whole for Your glory. For Your glory. And we just thank You for that. We thank You for that. Hallelujah. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 If you just want to stand with me. And Lord, we just thank You that You are stronger. You are stronger. You are stronger. Hallelujah. You are stronger, oh God, than anything that we have come in with. You are stronger than the weariness. You are stronger than the bondage. You are stronger than the lie. You are the Lord of it, O God. And we are Your bride. And You are breaking off, O God, the chains of the enemy, O God, and the wrong thinking, because You are stronger. We give ourselves to You. You are our husband. We give ourselves to You, O God. Oh, thank you, Lord, for what you have begun tonight by your Spirit. We open our hearts, Lord, to your Spirit and your Word. It creates freedom. It creates truth. It creates light. Lord, let light now flow in us. Reach every darkened corner. Thank you. We receive it now into our mind, heart, and spirit. And you are stronger, Lord. And now, beloved, I think it's time to worship him. We're just going to worship him for a few minutes. Sing with your heart. Sing with your heart. And receive the rest. Receive the rest of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for teaching us, oh God. A rest only you can teach us. Hallelujah. We worship you now. We worship you. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus, you said that you give us your peace. You said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world give I, give the same worldly peace, but my peace. And we thank you tonight that we are drinking deeply from your cup of peace. Thank you. You said you would give us rest. And we thank you for this deep soul rest. Thank you. This is just the beginning. Thank you. You're going to, it'll be a lifetime, Lord, of walking ever deeper in your rest. Thank you, Lord. We've needed this. We thank you for it. Now, Lord, just bless us as we go tonight. And I pray, Lord, that this peace in this room, this peace in our heart, is evidence you are with us. You are here. I thank you, Lord. When you say, let not your heart be troubled, our hearts, Lord, are at peace tonight. And I pray, Lord, you give us a good rest. And in the morning, Lord, we could just eat a little, drink a little first before we see anyone else's face. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't stay up all night, that we would be able to receive from you again tomorrow. I ask your blessing to be on every woman and every household. And I thank you, Lord, and we come hungry and anticipating what you will do for us tomorrow by your Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for tonight. We truly are thankful for tonight. We bless your name. We call you good. And we love you, Jesus.